You're listening to Kizuki, the podcast. I'm Mei Yoshikawa, and I define the Japanese concept of Kizuki as the following. Kizuki. 1. A moment of epiphany, an aha of realization or insight which opens the knower to a new dimension of truth that was formerly unknown. 2. Steps in an incremental growth of awareness, resulting in a movement from ignorance to greater awareness of the bigger picture. A kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. As a longtime yoga and meditation practitioner, a world traveler and curious self-explorer, I'm obsessed with Kizukis. Listen on each week for inspiring and enlightening stories that may just tip you over for your next aha. On this week's episode, Drop the Cynic. The other day, my beautiful friend shared a reel by Kyle Cease with me, and it really caught my attention. Kyle is a speaker and a teacher, but he originally started out as a comedian. In the reel, he spoke about how comedy is often rooted in self-deprecation and how for so many people, jokes and making jokes about themselves are just survival mechanisms, ways to hide pain, to mask their unworthiness, figure out a way to belong by making people laugh at whatever cost. He spoke about how comedy for him was not only a way to hide his pain, which had a lot to do with being unworthy in the eyes of his father, but for him, it was also one of the only ways that he felt that he could connect with his father as a child. Otherwise, he didn't really feel safe around his father, but if he had comedy, he was able to laugh with his dad rather than fear being scolded. That whole conversation made me think of my own survival mechanism. And while mine wasn't comedy, I had something else. It was cynicism. And it took me many years to realize it. I have carried a convincing inner cynic for as long as I can remember. So long that I don't even know when I picked it up, but probably from my dad, my siblings, my family, and some of our friends along the way. I do know that it became a part of my identity. I used to think that these little cynical remarks made me sharper, maybe more realistic, and at times just funnier. I remember one friend, she told me, "Mei, if you didn't have a dark side, you'd be boring." And I let that line stick to me for years. I believed it, even though I didn't really want to. So cynicism became my edge, my flavor, and a part of my personality. Now, some of you know this, but I was married once in my 20s, and which ended in divorce. And then later in my mid-30s, I met my second husband, my beloved. And when I started hanging out with him, it was a very different quality in our relationship. And when I would talk like I normally do with the cynical, sardonic wit and all, I noticed that he didn't vibe with it at all. If I made such comments, they slid right past him, as if he couldn't even catch the frequency. It wasn't that he didn't get it. It was just that, he would give me this blank, observational stare, as if to say, "What was that about? but he didn't really use words to explain what he was thinking. It was more like his neutrality and the way that my comments wouldn't land for him reflected back to me how corrosive my cynicism was. This was like a major Kizuki thing that happened for me throughout the many months and years of hanging out with him. It was also interesting for me to learn that at the same time, the man who later became my husband, he wasn't against humor. He loved it. He loved my humor. He loved it when I was actually funny and when my playfulness or even dark humor came without the pessimistic nature of cynicism and especially self-deprecation, right? If there was any amount of cynicism that undercut me or undercut life, he just couldn't vibe with it. But if it was something funny without the self-deprecation or the life deprecation, he was right there with me laughing, just doubling over. And this uncomfortableness of the mismatch was the best way to wake me up from this long-standing pattern that I had carried since my youth. Because for the first time, I could see that what I thought was cynical wit or even realistic intelligence was actually my way or my survival mechanism's way of protecting myself. Because as long as I'm pessimistically pointing my finger at life, I don't have to look at my own shit. Now, after a few years, my relationship with my husband ended suddenly because he died suddenly. And in my acute grief, all of the old, loud voices of cynical remarks came rushing back in my mind. The old self-talk that said things like, "You're no good. You're worthless. Oh, look at you, May, now. Now you're a divorcee and a widow. Look at you." Like that kind of painfully self-deprecating negativity. It was so flagrant in the absence of my husband, so pronounced because his presence, his physical presence wasn't there to stop these voices in my head. It was such a hard uphill battle, but I realized something critical. If I listened to those thoughts, they could really harm me. They would actually eventually lead me into very self-destructive places. And that's when I understood cynicism wasn't just some personality quirk. It was something that I had used unknowingly to keep myself from looking at myself, to face myself. And somehow, in the depths of my grief, I came to this vivid recognition that I needed to outgrow it completely, with or without the help of my husband. And that I needed to choose every time it showed up in my mind not to buy into it anymore. This makes me think that, you know, we all have our MOs, the way that we navigate life or the way that we learn to navigate life as a survival mechanism that we picked up in childhood. Obviously, we each had different childhood upbringings, so we developed different mechanisms. For me, it was cynicism. For someone else, it might be perfectionism. I have a dose of that too. Or people pleasing. Yeah, I think I have that too. Or shutting down when things get hard. Or like Kyle, some people use comedy, laughter, as a sort of escape, right? These things, they're not all bad. They helped us survive many years of whatever it was that we needed to survive. But as we evolve, as we grow, as we awaken, we need to check again. Are they suffocating us now if we keep them with us any longer? So I want to present to you this question. First of all, what is your MO? Have you noticed an old trick of the mind or a pattern that pops up? Maybe it's to keep you safe. Maybe it's to help you feel like you belong or help you run away from the fear that you don't belong or stay away from the pain or the difficulty of having to look at yourself like me. Now, I want you to just pause for a moment, spend a little time there, because I want you to ask yourself, does it still fit? Is it still a pattern that you want to keep now and moving forward? The deeper the pattern and the longer you've kept it, the more that's going to feel like awkward and just hard to stop because you don't know yourself without it. In fact, you've never known yourself without it. But just for a mini instant, imagine, what would it feel like to lay it down? Just to let it dissolve, even just the possibility of one day dissolving and being free from that pattern. Does even the idea of that make you feel a little lighter? Because that's a huge hint about where you're wanting to go, where you're meant to go. You are a free soul, dear listener. Whatever your most old standing MO is, I know that can feel like the stickiest, hardest thing to shed. But I also know from personal experience that it's possible. If I can do it, so can you. And it's your awareness, your Kizuki, that makes it possible.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about me and my Kizuki Journaling Meiwai Method at my website, kizukijournaling.com. That's KIZUKIJOURNALING.com. Or find me on Instagram at MAEYOSHIKAWA.